Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We would like to thank Woodbine for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Woodbine's 2023 Thoroughbred Stakes program has more than $17 million in purses, including 39 graded stakes, 5 grade 1 events, and 2 $1 million classics, the King's Plate and the Woodbine Mile. Woodbine, now through December, great racing north of the border. Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Seth Merrow in the studio. As noted a little bit earlier, we will have Rachel McLaughlin in just a few to take a look at Horseshoe Indy. A little bit later on, Jay Keeler Johnson from the Blood Horse taking a look at the three dirt derbies today, Indiana, Iowa, and LaSalle. And I think that's how his piece in the Blood Horse was titled, because of course there is the Turf Derby at Belmont. So a lot of great action this afternoon in the last weekend with racing across the country, pre-Saratoga. And we've all been counting down the days there. And I'm just trying to pull up here because I do have stats. We are the last weekend at Belmont. So it'll be a little bit interesting. Well, I say that, and I'm pulling up the Chad Brown entries because I pulled up the leaderboard for Belmont last night on Equibase. So coming into the last 2 days of the meet, the jockeys race is going to be fun. We've been saying that for four or five racing days. Jose Ortiz actually has a 2-win lead over his brother Irod, 55-53. They're clearly ahead of Manny Franco at 31. Flavian Pratt and Dylan Davis at 23. Dylan Davis has been on a little roll the last week and a half or so, though. He comes into and Pratt's been riding well, too. So they're both coming into Saratoga with a little momentum. But Jose Ortiz and Irod Ortiz, 55 for Jose, 53 for Irod. The last 2 days could be fun. On the trainer's side, though, and as I say, I looked it up, Linda Rice at 33 and Chad Brown at 26. So it's when I first looked, I thought, oh, Chad has over the next couple of days 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9 entered. And I thought, oh, maybe it could get interesting with a crazy run, but 4 of those are in the same. He has 2 in the Belmont Oaks. He has 2. In the Belmont Derby. So essentially, it's Linda Rice it's going to wind up to be. So congratulations to her on the, I suppose, again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. With a complete sweep, Chad could do it. So I suppose it's not a done deal at this point, but pretty close. Also some news, and I mentioned it earlier on the handicappers report, Wonder Wheel retired. That was announced yesterday, day before, yesterday in the racing forum. It's actually reported in Thoroughbred Daily News first. General manager of the stable said there were some nagging ankle issues, a couple of minor issues. They had a little procedure to take care of a flake, but they mentioned the horse being very big. It just became kind of a nagging type of a thing. But boy, she was so good last year for Mark Cassie, and Mark was super high on her. We had Mark sitting in with us before the spinaway last year, and he was really high on the horse, and she validated it with a great 2-year-old season and just came back and wasn't the same this year. As we mentioned on the handicappers report, up in the Saline, the season finished second in the seasonal debut in the Suncoast Stakes at Florida. So right there, that was a little bit disappointing, but Mark Cassie commented, he thought, good way to start the season. But then she finishes sixth in the Ashland, ninth in the Kentucky Oaks. And then last week up at Woodbine, she winds up a really disappointing eighth in the Grade 3 Saline. So she's going to be retired, is retired, but is headed to the FASIC Tipton Kentucky Falls Selected Mixed Sale in November, that Night of the Stars sale. I'll be interested to see what she attracts there, given that just absolutely phenomenal two-year-old season she had. Just, it really was just crazy. But sometimes they just don't come back the same. And again, if there was some kind of issues, and again, noting her size and whatnot, and you string three together like that, and Mark Cassie had said, bring her up to Woodbine. Weather's maybe a little bit nicer. We'll kind of regroup, see what she does on the synthetic. And the performance last weekend said, yeah, it may be time. And so Wonder Wheel off to the breeding shed. Well, next year off to the breeding shed, off to the sale before that this fall. Cody's Wish, according to a Mike Welsh article in the Racing Forum yesterday, likely, according to Bill Mott as well, likely for the Whitney. Had a nice little work yesterday right up at Saratoga on the Oklahoma track. The article quotes Bill Mott as saying, I'm leaning towards the Whitney. I'm 99% sure right now that's where he'll run next. Then he goes on to say, you know, there's still plenty of time before then. Things could change. But it looks like they'll stretch out a little bit after that nice win in the Met. Just been phenomenal and a great story as well with the tie-in with the young guy and whatnot. So Cody's Wish. Another one of the big names we are scheduled to see up at Saratoga this season. And I mentioned it to Brian on the Handicappers Report. Been talking about Saratoga and some of the big performers coming up for at least a month and a half as we've watched stakes at other venues and saying, yeah, wouldn't be surprised to see with these connections, this one up at Saratoga and this one. So it's shaping up, as is the norm, great steak summer up there. But Cody's Wish in the Whitney will add to it, because as I always say, you know, we have fun, we want to bet, we want to win bets, but I don't think I'm alone. The stories are a lot of fun as well. And when you get a horse like that, that can combine big wins with a great story, that makes it a lot of fun. So looking forward certainly to Cody's Wish up at Saratoga. All right, we'll take a break. As noted a few minutes ago, we'll be joined after the break by Rachel McLaughlin from Horseshoe Indianapolis on their big day, Indiana Derby and Indiana Oaks. We'll talk all of that right after this. A little bit later on, we'll concentrate on some of those other derbies on the day as well as we continue here on Racing Across America. Stay tuned.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, hey, it's our old friend Rachel McLaughlin. Haven't had Rachel on in quite a while, but when we did the weekday morning show, we had a whole lineup of folks that were regulars, and Rachel used to be one of our regulars. Haven't talked in a while, though, but I thought nobody better to reach out to on the big day at Horseshoe Indianapolis than Rachel McLaughlin. Rachel, good morning.
Yeah, hey, Seth. I'm glad to be back. Yeah, it's been a while. We've seen each other at some racing things over the years, but it's been a while, but I'm glad to be back. Thanks for having me on.
Happy to have you back. Always enjoy watching you, during the race day. I'm in here doing the handicapping show in the afternoon, and I have a bunch of monitors going and enjoy watching you, enjoy following your Twitter feed as well. And speaking of the Twitter feed, you can tie in a little bit, just talk about Horseshoe Indianapolis and how it's gone so far this season. But I pulled up a couple of pictures. I think July 3rd they were dated, so just a few days ago. Big crowd on the apron. So how's the season going out there?
Yeah, you know what? It's going really well. We are up every day handle over nice. Last year. There hasn't been one day that handle has not blown last year's out of the water, which is always good. Eric really kind of, our schedule is obviously a little different, and we jump around to where it fits for us and where there's not, you know, we have the best opportunity to get the most eyes on our racing, so it's really, really paid off. The crowd for that drone show, I think people were kind of interested in, hey, everybody goes and sees fireworks, but they heard drone show, and they really came out for that. The band was awesome. It was a really good day, and the racing was top-notch, too.
Yeah, we just showed the pictures that you had on Twitter, and always nice to see a nice crowd like that sitting out on the apron. Also, I pulled up last night on Equibase the human side of things. Out there so far this season. On the jockey side of things, Marcelina Pedroza has a little bit of a lead over De La Cruz, 39-38. Ramos sitting there at 37. Over on the trainer side of things, Gennaro Garcia has opened up a little bit of a lead on some of the others. Talk about the trainers and jocks so far this season.
Yeah, you know what? We always have, ever since we kind of moved our racing dates, it's been so competitive. I mean, other than the last years when back in the day when we used to run, you know, in the evening, we moved it to daytime. We got some Kentucky jockeys coming through. And then we got, you know, jockeys like Deshaun coming on a regular basis and everything. It's really competitive. And then this young Ramos, I mean, Ramos has had 9 wins in 2 days. This kid's had 9 wins, including a handicap, one of the big races on Wednesday and one of the big races yesterday, and he got his 500 wins this week. So if anybody is looking for any kind of handicapping angle that way, Ramos is the hot jock right now. Fernando's pretty hot, too, De La Cruz. And then trainer-wise, you know, Gennaro Garcia, he's got a great group of Indiana breds. Bruce Murphy was out here yesterday and met some of the, you know, FanDuel people and was hanging out. He's a really good horseman and owner. I'm lucky. The Indiana horsemen, the owners, we put so much back into the purse structure that we end up, you know, attracting some really nice, great connection. So it's going really well. But, yeah, Ramos is hot, and then Gennaro's our leading trainer right now.
Yeah, and you don't have to go too far down the list to see some of the national names, Brad Cox, Steve Asmus, and Ken Hammond is always interesting to me out there in the Midwest, Jonathan Thomas. So, yeah, it's just a nice leaderboard there on the jock and the trainer side. And before we get into the Derby and the Oaks, give us a little update. You and I were talking during the commercial. Give us a little update on weather situation.
Yeah, so I live just probably 20 minutes north of the track. It was really, really raining. As I got closer to the track, just kind of a steady, you know, I would say regular rain. When I got up here, Eric ended up telling me, he looked at the radar, and it's really supposed to clear out here probably before 11, which would be ideal so that we get an hour or so to maybe get that thing opened up and dried out. But right now it's sealed, and the rain is supposed to move out, which I was telling everybody. Everybody was telling me I was crazy, but I was like, listen, guys, I'm manifesting my destiny. it's not gonna be an all-day rain. It's just going to rain for a bit because it's been super humid, and then it's going to clear out, and it's going to be sunny for the rest of the day. And by God, if I pulled it off, everyone can thank me.
I like that. And if you do pull it off, I'm going to be making calls to you while we're up here at Saratoga if we have a rainy day. Maybe you can work the magic long distance, too. We would certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, let's jump in. The finale today, it'll go off about 6:40 this evening. The 12th and final at Horseshoe Indy is the Indiana Derby Grade 3 event, $300,000 up for grabs. I just did the handicapping show, and I said I was tilting strongly towards verifying, and then I thought, you know what, he's not invincible. I wound up taking a little pop with On the Stage for Steve Asmussen, and we're going to take a look at his win on June 17th down at Lone Star, going to be the number two horse here. Again, off of this, it's a nice victory. It's a big step up, though, but I think I'll get paid if it works out. I have verifying underneath. Hayes Strike is interesting. Cagliostro intriguing for Cherie DeVoe. But what are your thoughts on the Indiana Derby?
You know what? I went down when they were schooling yesterday when Ricky was down there, Brad's assistant. And, you know, the Indiana Oaks came up one of the toughest, I think, and Ricky said this. He said, I think this is the toughest Indiana Oaks in a long time. And I agree. So in this race with the two scratches, the three is out, Act a Fool, Ravelli, I cross-entered in Iowa, and then, or maybe it was staying, and then Stay in Your Lane, the six is out. So with a couple of scratches, a shorter field, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go against verifying in this race. I think that he, you know, he has some of the best speed figure in the group. You know, your horse, the On the Stage, I like a lot. He put up an 87, verifying 89 that speed figure. I think I'm going to go with the five. I like your four a lot, but I really like Raise Kane, the Colebrook trainee, the two, Juan Machado. I just think his running style, you know, he really comes from off the pace. And if we get kind of, I don't know what the situation is. That's what's really hard. I think I'm going to switch some things around today because we don't know, you know, is it going to stop raining? Is it going to be slop? Should we just go for speed in the slop? But his speed figures are really nice, too, and he has a sloppy, you know, a couple sloppy races, muddy races, a win on the mud, you know, back at an aqueduct in the Gotham. So it's going to be an interesting day. Do you play at that angle, or do you just go with what you like and stick with it? But I think I'm going to go with verifying on top, Raise Kane, and then I haven't decided who I'm going to put in my trifecta. I've left this for the very last minute, if you haven't noticed.
And there's nothing wrong with that because, as you say, then you get a little feel for how things play as well. And again, I may be crazy going against verifying. I mean, Brad Cox and company. But I just thought, you know, I don't think he's invincible in here. So I was going to take a little bit of a pop. A little bit earlier on the card, it is the Indiana Oaks Grade 3 event for the three-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th. Here I'm a little more master of the obvious. I went with Defining Purpose, and I pulled up the Ashland. That was two starts back for Defining Purpose. She'll be the number six horse on the replay here. Tax comes out of the win in the Black Eyed Susan. Merlaza, I think, is better than we saw in the Black Eyed Susan, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that one kind of rebound a little bit for Brad Cox. But what did you see in the Oaks?
Yeah, you know what? I can't decide. I couldn't decide between Merlaza and Defining Hope after talking to Ricky a little bit. She looked really good in the paddock yesterday. I mean, she looks fit. He said she's been training really well. She's had a little bit of trouble, you know, coming out of the gate that last time. I think you're right. I don't think we saw the best of her. Horses that do well at Oaklawn as well do really well here. So I like Merlaza, and I don't know if it's because I saw her yesterday and she just visually impressed me so much, and she was so, you know, verifying. Ricky said he's just like an antsy kind of horse anyway. At the Kentucky Derby, he was just like totally amped up, and he was like that in the paddock yesterday. He was very antsy. He couldn't sit still. She was super classy, super relaxed, didn't see any problem with it. Tax interests me a little bit, I think. Obviously has some nice off form. If we get to the end of the day and it rains again, you know, I throw that one in there for sure. I mean, 2-1, she's got an excellent shot anyway, regardless of, if you know, what the track condition is or not. And then a little bit of a long shot that I text Johnny Ortiz. He hasn't answered me yet, But I asked him what he thinks about Cloak of Mercy today, 3-year-old filly by Honor Code. She just broke the maiden, but coming from Oaklawn, I like a nice second on the slop, so she's not going to get on the off track today if it holds moisture and freaks out. And she's got nice speed. I don't think we've seen the best of her, obviously, since she just broke her maiden. But she looked really good doing it, and she did it over our track. So I like that a lot as well. So I think I'm going to throw her in there as well. So where I put everybody, and I think defining purpose one as well, I don't know. But this is such a wide open race, and I'm going to have to sit down and look at those four and probably just try to decide where I'm going to put them. But those are probably my top four in the field.
Yeah, it's a fun bunch, no question about it. And again, there's a nice supporting undercard of stakes. And I'm glad you brought up verifying schooling yesterday, because I actually told the guys to pull up that video that you tweeted out. And I had that impression, too. He was a little bit antsy, but you're still using him on top. So I'm assuming that didn't bother you much.
No, it didn't. When Ricky said he did that in the Kentucky Derby as well, which he didn't run well at all, that's just how he is. I'm hoping that he settles down a little bit. But I think just because it's a shorter field and easier company, even if he is a little antsy, I mean, he seems like he's the one to beat on paper, you know what I mean? And with that field, I think being a little bit less challenging than the Oaks, I thought, you know, Verify stands up above the crowd. But I just also got a text from Eric, just so you guys are all updated. Main track is wet fast. Turf is good. Races 9 and 10 will be ran on the turf. 5 and 7 will be off the turf.
9, 10 on, so 5, 7 off.
Yeah, we're going to take it off the turf to Ellen's Lucky Star. And then the 7th race, which is that for the snack stakes for the boys.
All right, very good. A couple of those stakes had horses that I was happy with either way. They were kind of trying the turf, and so if things got moved, I wasn't going to switch things up much anyway. But it is a really nice card today at Horseshoe Indy. And again, as I say, enjoy watching you and the whole crew out there when I'm doing the simulcast handicapping, and you guys do a great job. I'll advise people to follow you on Twitter as well. But Rachel, happy to have you jump back in for a little bit on a big day at Horseshoe Indy, and good luck to you and everybody out there this afternoon.
Thanks, Seth. I'll talk to you later. Have a good day.
Appreciate it. Rachel McLaughlin from Horseshoe Indy. Again, really nice day out there with that Derby, the Oaks, nice undercard of stakes as well. And as Rachel said, 9 and 10 on the grass, 5 and 7 off at this point. So keep that in mind as you handicap as well. Just before we go to another commercial, I did pull up the June numbers came out, June handle numbers. So far this year, handles down, and I'm looking year-to-date. 3% year-to-date handle is down. The June numbers down just over 4%. Don't forget, however, and the article I read pointed this out, and I think everybody is aware of this if you think about it for a moment. We had the crazy air quality situation, and so there were some canceled dates this June that I think play very significantly into the dip in the handle from 2023 to 2022 June. Second quarter year to year is down just over 2.5%. So again, you see the year to date, the quarter, second quarter, 2.5%, June down over 4%. You can see that June took kind of a little more of a significant hit. And when you see that, then you start to kind of, okay, what is our reasoning here? And I think those air quality days played into that notably, which is just, it was such a strange situation. And hopefully, I was going to say, hopefully it's over. I don't think it is over, but hopefully we don't get affected at Saratoga. But if you read about it, the crazy wildfire situation, they say could last for a while up in Canada. So, you know, knock wood, we don't face those situations here in Saratoga, because anybody in the area knows that last week and then 2.5 weeks or so ago when they were really getting hit down in New York. You were looking at the pictures in New York with the orange haze. It was hazy up here as well, and you could smell it. That was, like I say, 2.5 weeks ago. And last week, it wasn't as bad, but you could smell it a little bit, and you could see a haze in the air last week as well. That last week, it was more the Midwest than us, but we had it. Point being, here in upstate New York, in the Albany, Saratoga area, we have been hit with it, and I think at this point, they have numbers that they're kind of pointing towards and shooting, you know, air quality. There's that air quality index. And I think the racing industry has kind of decided, okay, here's numbers where we'll take the day off. So hopefully we do not hit those numbers up here at Saratoga this summer. But we'll see how it all shakes out starting on Thursday with opening day at Saratoga. But again, in the meantime, plenty of great racing, including that Indiana Derby. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But also the Iowa Derby and the Los Al Derby today as well. And we'll hit on all of that with Jay Keeler Johnson right after this. Stay tuned.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Seth Merrill in the studio, as promised before the break. Joined now by Jay Keeler Johnson. You can find his work in The Blood Horse. And I saw the nice article this week that hit on the three dirt derbies this afternoon. I thought I'd like to talk about those. We just had Rachel McLaughlin on talking a little bit about the Indiana Derby, but we'll throw in a little Iowa Derby, a little Los Al Derby as well. Keeler, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Happy to have you on. As I say, it's going to be fun to talk a little bit about the three-year-olds and the various derbies this afternoon. Before we do that, let me get your thoughts on the three-year-old scene in general, because I've been saying probably since about Preakness week, this three-year-old scene to me is totally up in the air. Days like this may help raise somebody up a little bit, but I think over the next few weeks, I think Haskell, Jim Dandy, Travers, Pennsylvania Derby will kind of sort things out. But at this point, I think that I suppose you would say on talent, Forte maybe is out there. Two Phils, I think, had the chance to step to the top of the class, but then had the unfortunate situation and got retired. But what are your thoughts on the three-year-old class as we kind of go past the halfway point of the year?
Well, I have to agree. It's absolutely wide open at this point. And that makes for a very fun second half of the year. It's always nice when someone steps up and dominates the first half of the year. That's exciting in one sense, but I really kind of like it when you head into the second half of the year and it's a totally wide open picture. Really boosts the importance of all these races, and you can kind of look forward to seeing how it all unfolds. I'm probably with you there on Forte as maybe the kind of the division leader in a sense, but that certainly would be building off his success at age two, and for the championship, I mean, it's anyone's game at this point. Looking forward to seeing how Mage can come back, because I think he ran deceptively well in the Preakness, given how slow the pace was. Maybe that was a little bit of an underrated performance. But you have National Treasure out there, the Preakness winner, Archangelo with the Belmont. Really a shame that we lost two fills, because the Ohio Derby was an impressive run, and his Kentucky Derby was gigantic, given how close he raced to that pace. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing how it all unfolds, and I think these three races today are going to give us a little bit of clues as to who's going to be able to step up and target races like the Jim Dandy and the Haskell and the Travers. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I definitely think there's the possibility that horses could step out of these races this afternoon. And, you know, kind of second string derbies, as it were, but you win here, then you move on and you try some of those races in the summer. And you stated it just, I think you have my thoughts exactly on Forte. I think at this point, talent-wise, people are kind of thinking, well, he may be the leader in the class, but if you were voting the Eclipse right now, his three-year-old resume really isn't there. Mage may be if you were doing Eclipse right now with the Derby win. So, but again, we are waiting for the summer, and I agree with you. That just makes it all the more interesting. But that's what makes today interesting as well, with the three dirt derbies. And again, you wrote about them in the Blood Horse, but we'll get some of your thoughts. And we'll start with the Indiana Derby. I just had Rachel McLaughlin on, so we just talked about this a little bit. And I said, I was originally going to go with Verifying. She did. And I don't argue. Verifying is going to be the one to beat. I thought On the Stage was a little bit interesting for Steve Asmussen off of the last two wins down at Lone Star. Lightly raced, maybe there's still some upside potential. So I'm going to take a little pop there. But we're going to take a look at the Matt Wynn from June 11th. Disarm is going to be the number two horse on the replay. Going to win half length behind is Verifying. So Verifying coming out of this, Matt Wynn second, to show up this afternoon. And I'll also tell people to watch the third place finisher, number three, Bo Cruz, because that horse coming up a little bit later to talk about in the Iowa Derby as well. But Verifying, certainly the one to beat for Brad Cox. What are your thoughts in the Indiana Derby?
Well, I think specifically, in talking about the Matt Wynn, I have a pretty high opinion of the Matt Wynn as a race this year. I think it was a really strong addition. You have Disarm, who won the Matt Wynn, and he's always felt like a horse that has been held in very high regard. Like, there's a lot of talent and potential there, and he really has shown flashes of it throughout the spring when he was second in the Louisiana Derby and fourth in the Kentucky Derby. And then he won the Matt Wynn, and really liked Disarm's performance that day, where he closed from a little bit off the pace into some pretty strong closing fractions. So that's kind of the basis of some of my handicapping opinions this week, is that the Matt Wynn was a very strong race. I think we'll see Disarm come out of that and do well this summer. And kind of by extension, I really like Verifying coming out of that race. Verifying is another horse who has shown those flashes of talent for a long time. I liked his debut win at Saratoga last year, liked him in the Champagne when he was second. He ran in the Kentucky Derby, and that's kind of a throwout race for me, just because the pace was so fast.
Yeah.
They went 45-3 for the half mile and 110 flat for six furlongs, and the three speed horses all burned out, finished way back. But Verifying showed no ill effects from that. He came back, ran in the Matt Wynn, tracked a modest pace, had the lead in mid-stretch, just failed to hold off Disarm, but he pulled well clear of the rest. It was more like his Bluegrass effort, where he tracked the pace, had the lead in mid-stretch, just missed late against Tappet Trice, came back and was third in the Belmont. Verifying was almost six lengths in front of Blazing Sevens, who came back and just missed in the Preakness. So you just kind of look through Verifying's record and his form lines and who he's been up against, and he's taken on and even beaten some really nice horses, even going back to last year. I wonder if this Indiana Derby is just the perfect spot for him to finally get a stakes win. It's maybe, even though it's a grade three just like the Matt win, I think this looks like an easier spot on paper. And looking at the race day changes this morning, there have been a couple scratches from the Indiana Derby. Stay in Your Lane is out, but also Act a Fool has scratched. And that takes some of the speed out of the Indiana Derby, maybe leaves the number one horse, Transect, as the most likely pace setter. So I'm thinking that Verifying is going to get just kind of his dream trip tracking the early pace, and it's probably going to be a modest pace. And from there, on this class drop, I think this will be his day.
I do not have a big disagreement with that. I just, as I say, I looked and I thought, I don't know if he's invincible, so I took a little bit of a shot at Verifying, clearly the one to beat. And again, he's one of those horses on the day today that I think with a win can then look at this as a little confidence builder and maybe step into one of those bigger races a little bit later this summer. So we'll see how it shakes out in the Indiana Derby over at Prairie Meadows this afternoon, this evening actually. The Iowa Derby, a mile and a 16th. And I mentioned Bo Cruz. We watched him run third in that Matt win, but I also pulled up going back to May 6th, an allowance optional claiming win. Bo Cruz on the replay here is going to be the number three horse. This is a horse with only four starts in the career so far for Al Stahl, including a couple of wins. That includes the one we're looking at right here. But in the Iowa Derby, also Brad Cox brings in Eyeing Clover for Marcel Graham's 10 Strike Racing and Company. Steve Asmussen has Black Powder in here. Dennington for Ken McPeak, I think, is an interesting contender as well. What are your thoughts in the Iowa Derby?
Well, I think this is by far the most competitive of the three dirt derbies today. You've got the gigantic field, and like you said, so many talented horses from prominent barns meeting up today. We have 14 entries. I'm guessing that Raise Kane is probably going to scratch. He's cross-entered in the Indiana Derby and didn't show up in the Indiana Derby scratches this morning, so I'm thinking he's going to be passing the Iowa Derby. But yes, you have Bo Cruz, and in a large field like this, I like that Bo Cruz is a pure front runner and should have every chance to just get out in front and stay out of trouble. I liked, like I said, the Matt win as a race, thought it was a really strong renewal this year, so Bo Cruz set the pace that day, and it wasn't a particularly fast pace over a sloppy track, but held on to finish third, behind Disarm and Verifying. This looks like an easier spot, certainly, than the Matt win. Loved his allowance win on Kentucky Derby Day at Churchill Downs, and he was so impressive when he broke his maiden at Fairgrounds during the winter. If you like Brisnet speed ratings, he's the fastest horse coming in. I just kind of think that this is maybe an even bigger class drop than the grade three to listed stakes maybe even suggests. Not that there's not talented and promising horses in the Iowa Derby, but really like Disarm, think highly of Verifying, and Bo Cruz ran respectably well against both of them in the Matt win. I'm thinking that in the Iowa Derby, it's only a mile and a 16th. It's a little shorter than the Matt win. I think Bo Cruz is going to get out in front or at least close to the pace and maybe just take this field all the way. Kind of think that maybe he's not grade one caliber at the moment, but like you said, he's only run four times, lightly raced, coming out of a good race. I think he's got a lot of upside still. And 9-2 on the morning line odds, I think that'd be a really nice price if it holds up.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what he does go off at, but with the size of the field, I think you definitely get some value. And again, we're having talked a little bit earlier about three-year-olds who maybe will kind of rise up to be competitors in this division. At this point, you're in a race like the Iowa Derby, you're looking for some lightly raced horses who maybe have real upside. And Bo Cruz is one of those, Iron Clover, Black Powder for Steve Asmussen. Dennington had shown some ability for Ken McPeak a little earlier in the career. I'm just not sure. He may be finding his level here, but I think there's some horses with nice potential going forward. So fun race, and Bo Cruz, I agree, very intriguing in there. And finally, West Coast, Los Al Derby, $125,000 up for grabs. Los Alamitos, a mile and an eighth. It's a field of six, but it's kind of a fun field. And again, there are some three-year-olds in here who can make a little noise going forward. One of those would certainly be Reincarnate. We're going to take a look at the Sham going back to January. Reincarnate's going to be the number four horse. Showed some ability there and didn't quite live up to it, running third in the Rebel and third in the Arkansas Derby subsequently, and then 13th in the Kentucky Derby, but comes back on Saturday for Bob Baffert. And Reincarnate, very intriguing. Skinner, who I think a lot of people were intrigued with after the maiden breaker in February, but then he was third in the San Felipe and the Santa Anita Derby. Has a little bullet work towards the end of June for this comebacker. Smart Mo for John Sheriffs, who also trained Skinner, with only the one start on the resume so far. As I say, it's a short field, but intriguing. Your thoughts on the Los Al Derby?
This is probably the race that I'm most looking forward to today. It is the smallest field, but I think there's a lot to dig into here and a lot to look forward to and see what happens. I've been a big Skinner fan since he broke his maiden back in February. Really liked that run, and then thought he ran really pretty well in both the San Felipe and the Santa Anita Derby. In both cases, kind of made some eye-catching moves around the far turn. I like to see that, where you have that acceleration around the far turn. Really kind of eye-catching. And he didn't quite sustain it in either race. Flattened out in the San Felipe, though that turned out to be a deep race. And then the Santa Anita Derby, he was wide throughout, lost by only half a length to Practical Move, who saved ground all the way. So Skinner has always felt to me like a work in progress. Like there's a lot of talent and potential there that he's not quite delivering on yet. And I'm really optimistic that we could see that over the course of the summer, where he may start to put everything together and get a big win, get a stakes win somewhere. I think there's a lot to look forward to with him. I don't know if this race today, though, is mission critical for Skinner. He missed the Kentucky Derby when he came down with an elevated temperature, and then he was slated to run in the, I believe, the Affirmed Stakes, but didn't train satisfactorily leading up to the race, so they pulled him out of that. He has big targets for the summer. I believe John Sheriffs mentioned the Jim Dandy in a Daily Racing Form report as a possible, possible target. But they need to get a race into him at this point after missing a couple of intended runs. And I wonder if this is kind of like a means to an end where they just kind of need to get Skinner back into action after the two scratches. This is a small field with very little pace, and Skinner is, to date, a pure late runner. I'm thinking maybe the setup won't be quite right for victory today, but I'm really hoping that we can see him put in a nice run late, and even if he was kind of a late running second, I'd view that as a big promising sign of maybe exciting things to come in the summer. But for the win today, I think Reincarnate has a strong chance. Like you said, during the winter in the Sham, he led essentially all the way to beat Newgate and National Treasure. And Newgate came right back, won the Robert B. Lewis Stakes. National Treasure, of course, went on and won the Preakness. And nothing has quite gone Reincarnate's way since then. In the Rebel, he got a poor trip, got shuffled back early. He's always up and on the pace, but in the Rebel, he dropped back to ninth early on. Actually rallied pretty well, despite some traffic in the home stretch. He gained a lot of ground to finish third. Then he went in the Arkansas Derby, and maybe was a little disappointing that day, coming home third. As I recall, there was a lot of wet weather in California during the winter, and there was a number of canceled training days. Maybe just wasn't the perfect situation for Reincarnate to get to the Arkansas Derby in peak shape for a peak performance. Then, of course, he goes to the Kentucky Derby, gets caught up dueling and pressing through the hot pace, finishes 13th, but that was the strongest finishing position of the three speed horses. The other two were Verifying, who we talked about earlier for the Indiana Derby. The other was Kings Barnes, the Louisiana Derby winner, who came back and just missed in the Pegasus Stakes. So I would even view Reincarnate's Kentucky Derby performance in a positive light, that he finished 13th best of the speed horses after being part of that pace. I feel like this Los Alamitos Derby is kind of a regrouping point for him, where he's come back with a couple of strong 6-furlong workouts, including a bullet at Santa Anita last month. Bob Baffert has gone 3-for-6 at Los Alamitos this meet. Now Reincarnate is picking up jockey Juan Hernandez, who rode Reincarnate in the Sham and hasn't been aboard since. So it's reuniting that successful team from during the winter. And I get the feeling that Reincarnate will go for the lead today. In this small field, not a lot of pace. I think going to the lead is his best strategy. He's run his best races on the front end. I don't think he's maybe as effective from a tracking or a pressing position. I think that this is maybe just the perfect spot. If he's catching Skinner at a point where Skinner's looking to get in a prep run for bigger things down the road, the small field, not a lot of pace. So that's my thought there, that this is probably going to be Reincarnate's day. But even beyond the top two, there's a lot of potential in the other Los Alamitos Derby entries. You have Smart Mo, you mentioned him briefly, a debut winner for John Sheriff's, racing a mile at Santa Anita. That was a nice run, and the runner-up was 11 lengths clear of the third-place finisher. There's promise there. Even the rail horse, Yellow Brick, he's a maiden so far, but he hasn't missed the trifecta in 6 starts. Ran third against Skinner when Skinner broke his maiden. You could maybe make a case where one of these could step up and maybe get a spot in the top two. Prince Abu Dhabi hasn't run on dirt yet, but he won all 4 of his starts on synthetic at Golden Gate Fields. Was third on turf last time out, but he's a son of Palace Malice, who won the Belmont. There's maybe potential there where he could relish the switch to dirt. So, like I said off the top, there's a lot to look forward to in this race, and I'm really kind of excited to see how it unfolds.
Yeah, and again, relating to the conversation we've been having right along, Reincarnate and Skinner, I think both have that potential and have shown that potential, just haven't quite lived up to it, but have the potential to maybe make a little noise in the second half of the season for a 3-year-old crop that is a little bit undefined. So it's another one of the fun races this afternoon for the 3-year-olds. Keeler, really appreciate it, the conversation. Again, I'll tell people they can swing by the Blood Horse, pick up your article this week on these 3 dirt derbies, but also always look for that unlocking winners column over on the Blood Horse. And again, appreciate the conversation. We'll talk again, and good luck this afternoon.
Oh, thank you very much. This is fun.
Appreciate it. Absolutely, to talk a little bit about the, again, a three-year-old crop that is very exciting. Jay Keeler Johnson from the Blood Horse. We'll take another quick break. We'll come back and wrap it up for Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Stay tuned.
The Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTV.com.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back. Before we wrap it up, went through that Horseshoe Indy card on the handicapping show earlier, so already introduced you to some of their undercard stakes. But on the Iowa Derby card at Prairie Meadows tonight, the Iowa Oaks Grade 3 event, $225,000, field of seven in here. Kenny McPeak has Stellar Lady, who won a little allowance at Horseshoe Indianapolis last time, 9-2 on the morning line. 5-2 favorite is Imonra. Again, I'm guessing there. But a Safi Joseph runner coming up from Gulfstream off a couple of wins. So nice little addition of the Iowa Oaks. And then the Prairie Meadows 8th today, the Cornhusker, $300,000. Mile and an eighth. This is a nice little field in here. Field of 10 scheduled. Skippy Longstocking is in here. Giant game for Dale Romans and our friends at West Point off an allowance win last time at Churchill. Promise Keeper in here for a Dallas Stewart. Cross-entered over at Indianapolis, however. Warrant for Brad Cox last time out, tried the Brooklyn, but prior to that won the Jim Murphy at Churchill. A nice, as I say, field of 10 schedule in the 8th at Prairie Meadows today, the Cornhusker. So again, some nice stakes action all around in the week before. Why do I say the week before? Because Thursday, it's opening day at Saratoga. And let me just update you on some of the things that we have coming up here at Capital OTB in the coming week and really throughout the season. Coming up on Wednesday this week, entries will open online for the Play of the Day team. What that is going to entail, there'll be 50 people selected for the team. They will be kind of playing along all season long. Our friend Steve Bick, he's going to be back for Play of the Day along with Kevin Cox, the Brooklyn Cowboy. They'll be alternating on the handicapper support in the morning, tossing out a Play of the Day. $100 will be wagered. They'll be kind of across the board. I think it's maybe 50, 30, 20, but $100 wagered each day on the Play of the Day. And the team splits up the winnings at the end of the season. So again, entries for the Play of the Day team will open up Wednesday and go until I think the following Tuesday. And then the team is going to be randomly selected from that group. Also coming up, obviously it's opening day at Saratoga on Thursday. If you can't make it to the track, stop by the clubhouse race book because we'll have a prize wheel Thursday. That's going to be kind of an every Thursday thing this month. Clubhouse Racebook, come on down and take your shot to spin the prize wheel. Every Friday at the Racebook, $100 trifecta challenge. Friday is also going to be the return of the bounty bet at Saratoga. Late pick five at Saratoga on Friday. Saturdays here at the Clubhouse Racebook, there'll be a play the board contest. Sundays here at the Racebook, a double promo day. So really, there's kind of something going on every day here at the Clubhouse Racebook the remainder of this month once Saratoga opens. So if you can't make it up to the track, come on down and enjoy the action here at the Clubhouse Racebook, where not only can you watch and enjoy and wager on the racing action, there'll be a little extra something each and every day. Should be a lot of fun throughout the month and throughout the season as well. Oh, and I didn't mention Friday, and that this will be every week throughout the season. I'm going to have a Sunday show pool, a Sunday show parlay pool. Easier said than done, although we had the crazy play a couple of years ago where start with $100 and we parlay five show bets during the afternoon up at Saratoga. And a couple of years ago, we turned the 100 into a couple thousand. But there's also been some whiffs, because it's not as easy as it sounds, even to get five horses in the money to show. But we'll be giving it a shot every Sunday, and every Friday, entries will open online for that week's team, and the team will be determined on Sunday morning, and then we'll put out the plays and whatnot. But a new team every week for this Sunday, Saratoga Show Pool Bankroll. Should be a lot of fun, so keep that in mind also. Going to be a fun season, Saratoga season. And again, if you weren't watching earlier, I said earlier this week that we were going to kick things off on the TV side tomorrow. That is not the case because, again, it's a big job moving all the equipment from here up to there, getting everything plugged in and whatnot. So we'll be back here in the studio tomorrow, and our preseason show will be Wednesday up at Saratoga. And then we'll kick things off officially on Thursday, obviously, opening day. But I'll be back here in the studio tomorrow. And today, I'll be back in about an hour and a half or so for OTB Live for Saturday afternoon, looking at a little bit of that Belmont card and Horseshoe Indy and whatnot. Should be a fun Saturday afternoon. And as I say, tomorrow back in 10 o'clock, Racing Across America for our typical Sunday morning stakes recap, handicapping, visit from Tony Kahlo, and more. All of that today and tomorrow. Seth Merrow in the studio. As always, we appreciate your tuning in. Hopefully we tossed out some good information on what looks to be a really fun day of racing at the various venues across the country. And as I say, we will be looking at much of it in just about an hour and a half or so, kicking things off for a Saturday afternoon OTB Live. So stay tuned, and we'll see you then.
We would like to thank Woodbine for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Woodbine's 2023 Thoroughbred Stakes program has more than $17 million in purses, including 39 graded stakes, 5 grade 1 events, and 2 $1 million classics, the King's Plate and the Woodbine Mile. Woodbine, now through December, great racing north of the border.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.